Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Doris Emick in memory of Ron. Today's reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might retain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." And the Lord said to him, "Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our first reading for today tells us a very famous story, well known to most of you, I'm sure, of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And it starts at the beginning with Paul's opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his church, and the lengths that he goes to oppose the work of the Lord Jesus and his church, to hamper those who would preach God's word. And so what he does is he goes to the chief priests and he asks for letters. What he's going to do with these letters is use them, you know, they're letters of recommendation, you might say. He's going to use them by taking them to Damascus, by sharing them with those in charge of the synagogues in Damascus, and to be vested with the authority of the chief priest himself. And that is to harass, to punish, to arrest even all those who go about preaching in the name of Jesus, of spreading the word of his death and his resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And so he sets out for Damascus from Jerusalem, seeking to bring harm and violence even to the church of God. But his plans don't go according to his plans, but according to the Lord's plans. And he finds himself surrounded by light and interacting with the risen Jesus Christ himself, who famously says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus reveals himself to Saul, become Paul, and he tells him, in fact, that he is to continue to travel to Damascus, and there he will learn what is going to happen to him. And so Saul goes. And we're told that he eats and drinks nothing, but continues only in prayer in Damascus as he awaits a message from the Lord. Now, that is, of course, the part of the story that gets the most attention. But actually, this morning, I would like to think and talk a little bit more about the section that comes next. So we know what's going on with Paul. And we now know that Paul is just waiting in Damascus. Well, as it happens, in Damascus, there are a bunch of Christians there. That's, of course, why Paul is going in the first place. And the Lord Jesus is working not only on Paul, but he's working on the Christians in Damascus, and particularly on one man named Ananias. And so the Lord comes and says to Ananias in a vision, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." So Ananias is praying and receives a vision from the Lord that he is supposed to go and talk to Saul. Now, the way I might tell this story and make it happen in my head, if I was designing it according to the way that I thought it would go, is that the Lord would speak to Ananias, and Ananias would say gleefully and joyfully, "Great, I would love nothing more, Lord, than to do exactly what you want me to do." But of course, the Lord is greater than me. He knows better what ought to happen. And he teaches us through the words of the Holy Scripture. And so that's not what we find. Ananias does not respond eagerly looking to do the work of the Lord. But instead he says, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." Ananias knows who Paul is. He knows what he has done in Jerusalem, that is persecuting the church of God. And he knows that he's come here with the same purpose. Ananias does not have his head buried in the sand. He's not delusional that everyone is going to be happy to hear about how Jesus died and rose from the dead to forgive their sins. But he knows, he's well aware of the fact that there are people out there that oppose him, that oppose his message, that oppose his fellow believers in Christ. And he's aware of the threats that are out there. So Ananias knows that Paul is in opposition to him, and he doesn't want to go. And so he offers, you know, by way of explanation, or if you'd rather, excuse to the Lord, this explanation that actually, Lord, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but actually this guy Paul has come here because he opposes you and he opposes me, and his whole purpose for being here in Damascus is to punish me and my brothers and sisters here in the church. He's in a way saying to the Lord, don't you think it would be better, Lord, actually, if your word didn't go to this man? You see how he opposes you and your people and how he means ill for us. And so it'd be better if I didn't go and take your word to him. Now, this is not, as I said before, the kind of behavior that we expect from a leader in God's church. It's not what we would expect even of Christian people. We know that we as God's chosen people are called to share his word with all those who need to hear it, which is actually everyone. We know that it's our task and our duty to go around reminding the people in our midst that Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead and Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead and to give eternal life to all of those who confess his name here on earth. We're to go around reminding people of those things, and more than that, to remind them of what God's word says, of all the things that it says, of what the Lord would have us do and have us not do, to remind people that sin leads to death and that the only way to escape that death is by receiving the blood of the Lord Jesus in repentance. And yet we also know, if we're honest with ourselves as we look around at our lives, that we are all too eager to avoid sharing that word. Like Ananias, we know that there are people around us in our world, culturally and civically and everywhere we seem to look, that are opposed to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're opposed to the idea that God has designed the world to work in particular ways, and they don't want to hear that the Lord approves of certain action and disapproves of others. They want to think and believe that actually everyone ought to live their lives exactly how they see fit, and no one, including the Lord Jesus himself, should stand in judgment or condemnation of them for their own personal choices. The fact of the matter is, we live in a world very much like the world that Ananias lived in, where we know, with our heads not buried in the sand, that there are plenty of people around us that oppose us. And just like Ananias, we are hesitant. We are often, if we're honest with ourselves, even frightened to say even the mildest things that come from the mouth of the Lord. We don't want to remind people that they are fallen and sinful, that they need to repent of those sins and receive the forgiveness that comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're hesitant, if we're honest with ourselves, even to acknowledge that we would call ourselves Christians. We're hesitant to remind those around us that we go to church and they should go as well. We are scared to share the message of God's salvation because we know there are people around us who don't want to hear. But brothers and sisters, I would remind you today that the Lord prevails on Ananias. He helps him to overcome his fear and to be reminded of the fact that even though he doesn't want to share the message with Paul, he should go anyway. And I want to remind you of what happens when he does. Ananias goes, in fear and trembling, I'm sure, to tell the Apostle Paul, the one who will become the Apostle Paul, that actually Jesus is risen, and because of that reason, his sins are forgiven. And he extends to him the call to repent and believe in the gospel, and the scales fall from the apostle's eyes, and that man is changed. He is God's chosen vessel who goes and proclaims the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to much of the world. He shares the message of salvation with untold numbers of people and spreads the gospel news and the salvation that Jesus offers far and wide. Brothers and sisters, I would leave you with this word of encouragement today, that the Lord has tasked you, just like Ananias, with sharing his gospel message. Just like Ananias, you're scared and fearful that you'll mess up the sharing of that message in one way or another. but the God who supported Ananias in his mission and used the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel to untold numbers is the same God who has baptized you, who has forgiven you, who feeds you with the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he continues to go with his people by the power of his word. So do not be afraid. Share the message with those who need to hear, which is everyone in your midst. Remember that the Lord goes with you, and no matter how you are received, the message is to be proclaimed. The Lord Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.